Mike Retter is a local filmmaker who's been drawing attention for his experimental style and uncompromising vision. His most recent film, Youth on the March, which premiered at the Adelaide Film Festival earlier this year to high acclaim, has a screening this Thursday night at Union Cinema on the Adelaide University campus. I began by asking him what his new film is about.
Youth on the March is about a young teenage male stoner that lives with his single mother. And we've all met them, and some of you will be that person who smokes pot all day while your mum goes out and works to provide a home for you.
I found this film frustrating in some ways, but very compelling in a lot of other ways, in a good way, I think. But this main character, Gil, can you talk about Gil a bit?
Well, Gil is that stoner that lives with his mother. I think that his development is affected by being a stoner and not doing anything, not progressing in life and not growing up. And I think that he's tested by manhood in the film. I think he's tested sexually and it doesn't all go to plan because he hasn't grown up emotionally. He hasn't become a man. He's physically like a man, but he's mentally and spiritually not a man.
Now, one of the most striking things I think about the film initially is it's shot vertically. Like it's almost as if it's shot on an iPhone or something. What was behind the decision to shoot that way?
Because we shot our last film that way, and I wanted to shoot it vertically again to get it right. I mean, there's so much that you can do with a vertical frame that you can't do with widescreen, and vice versa. I'm not suggesting it's better, but it's there's just as much possibility, and I don't think it's been as explored because there's not many feature films that are shot vertically. So it gives you more depth because there's more sky and foreground. You know, there's certain things you can do with overlays and transparencies that work better because there's less peripheral vision. Look, I didn't make the film because of the shape. I made it because I wanted to tell the story of a mother-son relationship and about, young people kind of wasting away because it feels fun while you're doing it. But God, once you get to an adult age, reality starts to hit you fast. And so I guess I've tried to make reality hit this character quite fast in the end.
And I think that comes across quite well. One of the things that I noticed through the style was that it everything feels quite personal. It does really feel like you're very close. There isn't much between you and the characters. Was that a intentional decision?
Well, it's shot very intimately. I mean, the portrait frame is going to, frame a face well and not give you a lot of extraneous information when you're, shooting in a sort of close-up. I wanted the people to empathize with this this character who is really a child, who wants and needs their mother and wants and needs love and tries to find it elsewhere, and but also wanted to just dive into that hedonism. I mean, we wanted to make the greatest stoner film of all time, and so we've tried to show the extremes of stoner behavior. You know, disgusting eating. You know, like binge eating. There's a lot of eating in the film. There's a lot of just indulging, full stop. Whether that be with his friends and just running amok and being crazy. And, there's a moment where, him and all of his male friends are kind of pretending to fuck each other and for an extended period of time, and it gets quite wild. Just the kind of crazy stuff that people get up to, when they're stoners. That's, I just hadn't seen it depicted on film in Australia. And so I wanted to do it.
And I felt that culture was picked up upon very, very well. Was that a difficult thing, do you think, to capture this youthful, hedonistic culture that's very specific to, like, Australia?
No, because they're all Australian actors. And, you know, various actors are just totally familiar with that lifestyle. It comes naturally. No, that was the easy part.
And this film was very honest, I'll say, and very vulnerable. Did you write the script? You directed the film and you wrote it yourself, yeah?
I co-wrote the film with my producer and editor, Alison Sean. So we wrote this film together. But it would be more connected to my adolescence than hers. And it's based on myself. It's based on people I've known. There's nothing that takes place in the film that hasn't happened in real life. It's all very typical, even at its extremes.
And the film was premiered at the Adelaide Film Festival. Can you tell us a bit about the acclaim that you got there when it's first been screened?
We got a very good reaction. We had very good reviews on Radio National and B-Side Magazine, Adelaide Review, City Mag had a very interesting write-up on it too. It's been very well received. And my mentors are happy. I'm not going to name drop, but you know, like I've got mentors, you know, who are established filmmakers, who are great filmmakers of the world that are very supportive of it. The important thing is about this film is we made it with no money. We made it with no funding, and that's what makes it good, because I didn't have to please any grant panels or film funding stuff. You know, it's important to point out. Very important to point out, Australian film sucks. It sucks, and we all know it, and we're not really doing anything about it. It's a problem every film academic will tell you. It's a problem most filmmakers will tell you. But we're in a terrible time. I don't think you can make a good film right now within the system. It hasn't always been this way, but right now it's impossible to make an outstanding film within the system. So it's all the more reason that people pick up their equipment and start making the films that they want to make. Take a sacrifice. Okay, you're not going to earn money at the job you would otherwise be doing. But, you know, commit to something you believe in, and it's incredibly rewarding. I mean, this film didn't cost anything. It's been well received. This is all a good thing. And I haven't even been to film school. Imagine people that have actually learned how to do stuff. Imagine what they would do. I think we're a little disempowered. Film schools are telling us that we're supposed to enter an industry, in inverted commas. There is no industry. Unless you're one of two or three directors in Adelaide that will get a fully funded feature film in the year, if you're part of the other 1.5 million people, you're not going to make a movie. So pick up your cameras and make a film. And don't worry about your gender. Don't worry about your race. The record button doesn't discriminate.
Spoke a lot about that, the budget there, and how restricting, having money almost can be, how getting producers, getting a grant can almost be like selling yourself. Was it freeing to make this all yourself?
Yes, because there was no censorship. Look, I know people that are in the industry. I know people, you know, that have made films, and they've told me the stories of being censored, having to take things out of the script, having to compromise their ideas, compromise their ideals. What's the point of being an artist if you're forced to do that? What is the point? So, yes, it's empowering. And the thing is, we're not doing anything that wild. We're just doing what the rest of the world is doing. America, Europe, Asia have a much stronger culture of micro-budget filmmaking. I mean, Australia is artistically embarrassed by Greece and Portugal, two countries that have suffered, you know, recessions, have much smaller GDPs than us, and yet have a stronger cinema culture and a stronger art film scene. Now, why is that? It's cultural. It's got nothing to do with money. We need to just forget money. You know, I actually think that sometimes money is the root of all evil, because it does corrupt. It does make people compromise their ideals. How many film students have gone straight from the film school just into corporate video, never to return? You know, I mean, this is ironically, they're the left-wing people that do it. They go into corporate video. It's really kind of strange. So what is going on? What is going on? Why have we kind of given up on the idea of the auteur? Why have we kind of given up on the idea of suffering for your art It seems that we're in a very non-romantic age in terms of art. And people are more interested in the politics of a film than aesthetics. It's a troubling, boring as shit artistic time. And yeah, I'll do everything I can to shatter that apart. And I hope others do the same. Particularly if you come from a comfortable background, you should be exploiting that. You know, if you got rich parents, you know, and they tell you to get a job, give them the finger and say, no, I need to be a filmmaker and I'm not going to compromise on that. Because these are the people that are often the most educated about film, and yet they're sort of hamstrung, you know, doing these part-time jobs at like Coles and stuff. What are you doing? And if you're not rich, if you don't have rich parents, which I do not, the dole is the greatest artistic grant in this country. And that used to be thought that way, you know, in the 80s and 90s. That was just, that's what artists did. But now artists, well, they've got taste for certain lifestyles that are more important than their artistic development. It's more important for certain people to be seen in certain places and doing certain things than actually being a serious artist. It's a kind of culture of posing. It's a culture of bullshit.
Now, for people who... thank you for that, by the way. For people who agree with what you have to say, that they want to support this almost grassroots movement to push against, you know, this lack of culture and cinema in Australian people, how can people see this film?
You should come to Adelaide University Cinema Society screening that's taking place this Thursday, 16th of November at 7 p.m. We'll be showing the film and having a Q&A afterwards. I really hope that anybody that wants to make a feature film but hasn't comes along, because I can tell you that it can be made. It's all about methodology. You've got to make your filmmaking concepts kind of unstoppable. A bit like Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You know, jiu-jitsu is based on being a smaller individual, right? Without the same strength as somebody else. And yet you're able to overcome the situation. So that's what independent filmmaking is. You need to come up with an idea that's, oh, damn it, we don't have anyone that can do $60 million worth of CGI on a film. I guess we don't make the film. Don't come up with ideas like that. You know, come up with ideas that are kind of based on the world around you. The things you should be inspired by locations that you have your hands on. You should be inspired by people that you know. And you should be inspired by the shit equipment that you have. Because if you make a film with shit equipment like we did, at least it won't look like a corporate video. I feel that there's too much crossover between the way advertising looks and the way cinema looks. It's glossy. It's perfect. You know, a constant, shallow focus. There's no texture to it. Remember, we're trying to look like film, and yet there's no texture. Film has grain. Film has qualities to it. So don't be afraid of using an old camcorder or using a DSLR or using a phone, you know, whatever. Just do it. Be interesting. Be interesting, please, because we're in such a boring time. So if you're in a boring time, turn your back on it. If Adelaide is boring and if you see the film scene is boring, turn your back on it and look at what the rest of the world is doing. And if you're not happy then, you know, go back in time into the history of film. It's exciting. Film is still, the feature film is still the greatest combination of all the arts. It's a fantastic medium with a fantastic history. Don't worry about, oh, the business model is shot, so we need to make a hokey web series instead. No, you make what is artistically right first, okay? Because you've just got to do what's in your heart. And I feel people are getting disconnected from that. Yeah, it's just so disempowering. And yet at our fingertips is the technology. I don't know what's happening, but it's not a good time for film. But that means that if you do anything half interesting, you'll get attention and people will want to see it. So just dive in and just draw a line in the sand and cross it. And commit to making a feature film. There's no better film school than making a feature film. You will be a different person once you've gotten through it. That's the other crazy thing. It's transformative. I don't know how much film school does that to people, because I meet a lot of people that come from film school and they're just disillusioned. They're just confused. They've been told a bunch of things. They did a little bit. But you know, it depends which film school you went to. But sometimes people get caught up in the academia of things and they become paralyzed. You know, like they don't even know who they are. And they're afraid of putting anything out there because they've been in this kind of highly critical film theoretical realm. And they're afraid of just being judged. You know, they're very unheroic individuals. So, you know, screw all that and be bold and go and do it, because cinema needs you. All right. Cinema needs you, because the films that are coming through the system with their box ticking and their kind of social agendas are really just amounting to propaganda for, you know, some cause that I don't really understand. But we need cinema saved from this rubbish.
Mike, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
That was Mike Redder speaking about the Australian film industry and his new film, Youth on the March. If you'd like to see his film, you can catch it tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Union Cinema on the Adelaide University campus. That is a free screening.